Court Roman. To my left is Judge Miller. To my right is Judge Jones. We have one case on the docket today. That's Aerovias de Mexico v. Gerardo de Prevoisen and JP Investment, case number 09CA0567. I see that counsel are present. Is that ready? Is that correct?
Yes, Your Honor.
Yes, Your Honor.
And you're both ready to proceed?
Yes, we are, Your
Honor. Did you get a copy of the instructions from the bailiff? You have no questions about that?
I did not receive any instructions from the bailiff.
Okay, then I'll just go over them with you. Basically, you each have 15 minutes. The appellant has the opportunity to reserve rebuttal time. The podium will go up and down to suit you if you need it to. And if you have, and this is true for everybody, if you have a cell phone or anything else that might go off, this is a good time to turn it off. And with that, I think we're ready to proceed.
Good morning, Your Honors. May it please the court. My name is Randall Livingston. I'm a lawyer with Bailey and Peterson. We represent the plaintiff in this matter, Aeromexico. We're appealing from the judgment of the Eagle County District Court. The court decided the case below on the basis that it lacked personal jurisdiction to decide the case. It held that Aeromexico had not proved a connection between the defendant, Gerardo de Prevoisen, and the state of Colorado. While the case began on allegations of broad misconduct by Prevoisen in his capacity as the head of Aeromexico and the defalcation of more than $71 million, conduct that ultimately resulted in his conviction by Mexican criminal courts and a judgment of restitution in excess of $70 million in total, the trial court's jurisdictional rulings focused the case here in Colorado on one aspect of Prevoisen's conduct, the taking of $8 million from Aeromexico and depositing that money in his own bank account in Citibank in New York City. The trial court's decision remained focused on the issue of personal jurisdiction. The trial court decided that it did not have personal jurisdiction by improperly limiting its consideration to one event in June of 1994 and directing Aeromexico to prove a connection between the transfer of $1 million of its money to the purchase of one of the Northwoods condominium units located in Vail, Colorado.
Interrupting, counsel. You mentioned that there's a judgment of restitution. That's a final judgment in Mexico, enforceable judgment in Mexico?
That is correct, Your Honor.
Does that render this case moot?
I do not believe so, Your Honor, no.
Did the monies that you claim were stolen and then used to purchase this condominium, were they monies that are covered by the judgment?
They are monies that are covered by the restitution judgment, yes, Your Honor.
Then what is there for us to do?
There is the issue of holding the defendant, Mr. Prevoisen, liable for that money.
Very held liable for the money.
Piercing the corporate veil of GP Investment and allowing Aeromexico to obtain satisfaction of the defalcated money through property that was acquired in part by Aeromexico's funds.
Can't you just enforce the judgment you've already got? Why do we need to relitigate something that's already been litigated in Mexico?
Because there's an issue of whether GP Investment is an alter ego of Gerardo de Prevoisen. That issue was not reached by the trial court. The trial court found that all those issues were moot because of its decision on personal jurisdiction of the defendant Prevezan.
And I didn't understand your brief to be appealing the piercing the corporate veil. I think in their answer brief, the defendant said you hadn't appealed that and there was nothing in your reply brief to dispute that. I think there's maybe a brief footnote or something in your brief, but no authority cited. But nonetheless, that's your position, is that you are appealing the court's dismissal of the piercing the corporate veil claim.
Well, I don't believe that the court dismissed the piercing of the corporate veil claim, Your Honor. The court held in its judgment, and the reply brief with authority states more in more than a footnote responding to the appellee's answer brief. However, the trial court decided that with the lack of jurisdiction that it found over the defendant Prevezan, that all other issues were moot. And by holding that it was moot, there's no substantive decision on the other claims. And for that reason, there was nothing to appeal. And the appeal is to reassert jurisdiction over Prevezan so that the claims against him can go forward, including the piercing of the corporate veil.
Mr. Livingston, I'm confused by your recitation of what's in the court's order. I don't see anything in the court's order about mootness as to GP. In fact, the court says in the penultimate paragraph 20 that it simply found that there's no basis for Aeromexico has failed to demonstrate that it is entitled to equitable relief against GP's Colorado property. It proceeded to enter judgment in favor of GP on all claims against it in this case, not on jurisdictional grounds, not on mootness grounds. Looks like on the merits to me.
Well, if I may, Your Honor. In paragraph 20, the court said, the record presented to the court, Aeromexico, it fails to demonstrate its title to equitable relief against GP's Colorado property. Therefore, the court deems the following claims moot for the reasons stated here and above, which are the reasons related to jurisdiction, that there is no jurisdiction over the defendant Prevezan, and therefore we don't reach any of the other issues.
No, I don't read it that way. He's making a ruling on the merits as to the claims against GP on equitable grounds, not entitled to equitable relief, and because of that, these other claims are moot. I'm just confused. And look at the paragraph 21. Deems it appropriate to enter judgment in favor of GP on all claims against it in this case. That's not a mootness judgment. That's not a jurisdictional judgment. In fact, the following sentence distinguishes it from a jurisdictional judgment by dismissing the claims against Prevezan for lack of jurisdiction.
Well, Your Honor, it seems to me that what the court is saying in paragraph 20, and I'll go back to that it isn't reaching those claims because there's no jurisdiction over Prevezan, so there's nothing for the court to address with regard to the other claims. The court's order, the court's judgment, analyzes only whether Prevezan and the money taken from Aeromexico and put into the purchase of Unit D4 was adequately connected, or as the court said, did Aeromexico adequately explain away the other money? The court decided that there was no connection and therefore there was no jurisdiction, and without jurisdiction it dismissed the case.
On that factual question though, as to a connection, that doesn't just go to jurisdiction. I mean, that's the fundamental premise, fundamental factual premise of the claims, isn't it? I mean, without a connection between the money and the real property in this case that you're seeking to attach or obtain, and the equitable relief sought against GP, the constructive trust against those properties, why doesn't that go to the merits and not just the jurisdiction? Well, you're saying you failed to trace the money to this, so you don't get a constructive trust. That sounds like merits ruling to me.
Well, his ruling, though, Your Honor, is that you don't trace the money, therefore I don't have jurisdiction to decide the claim. And that's what the court held.
Counsel, if we look on that same judgment document you're looking at under the heading judgment, point one is all Aeromexico's claims against all defendants are dismissed. And then if you look at the final judgment, nunc pro tunc, January 30, 2009, again it says all claims asserted by Aerovias against defendants Provoison and GP are dismissed. Isn't that? That doesn't say dismissed because they're moot. It just says they're dismissed. Anyway, your
well,
position
I understand,
is that you've
I understand
appealed.
That
your position is you've appealed the judgment against GP, and that's still a viable issue for us to consider. Is
it? It is. Yes, Your Honor.
So, I want to go ahead with the rest of your argument.
Okay. Thank you, Your Honor. In terms of jurisdiction, the court, as I said, focused on one event, the transfer of money in June of 1994 from Citibank to Houston to buy Unit D4 in Colorado. There were, and the record shows, that substantial facts that connected Prevazan to Colorado over a course of years under which he invested in real property located in Colorado by purchasing four condominium units. He kept a bank account in Vail, Colorado, which he said was for the purposes of maintaining and operating those Colorado properties. He personally bought a parking space in the Northwoods condominium located in Vail, Colorado. He negotiated for the purchase of D4 in Colorado in 1992 or 1993. He used his own money from the Citibank account to buy improvements to the Vail condominiums and to pay for a caretaker to the Vail condominiums.
If you interrupt again, yes, but I just want to be clear. My understanding is, well, you're arguing that with regard to all four condominium units, right?
That's correct.
But the trial court dismissed with respect to the first three claims, D1, D2, and D3, on forum nonconvenience grounds, and that's certainly not a subject of your appeal.
I don't agree that that he dismissed those three on the grounds of forum nonconvenience. He dismissed on the grounds of forum nonconvenience the claims related to the Inverworld, the DynaWorld transactions, the claims related to the unpaid advances made by Aeromexico to Prevazan. And for that reason, he said that the transactions occurred all in Mexico, had their effects in Mexico, and therefore it would be inconvenient to try the case related to those claims in Colorado. And Aeromexico has not appealed that judgment. It's willing to stand with that. It is appealing, and it tried the claims related to the $8.1 million transfers.
Counsel, did you want to reserve any time, or did you want?
I did. Yes, Your Honor. I would like to say briefly that the facts establish that Prevazan had contacts with Colorado sufficient to support general jurisdiction. In the alternative, the tracing that the court required showed that $1 million went out of Prevazan's account. $1 million came from Aeromexico. It went to buy the D4 condominium unit. There was no money that was intermingled between the time that Aeromexico's money came in and the time that it went out. That creates a clear connection between Aeromexico, the transaction of defalcating that money, and Colorado property, which is sufficient to support specific jurisdiction. I would like to save the remainder of my time. Thank you.
26 seconds.
May it please the court, my name is Mark Manny, along with Andre Palco. We represent two clients, Gerardo de Prevoisin Legarreta and GP Investment, Inc. This appeal and the case before centered on one thing, trying to distinguish Gerardo de Prevoisin from GP Investment, Inc.
Before you go into the merits, can you address sort of the moot question that my colleague was asking about earlier?
As I appreciate, Your Honor, counsel for Aeromexico is correct, and a final judgment has been entered against Gerardo de Prevoisin. That judgment does not mention GP Investment, Inc. in the slightest. And that there is a restitution element to that judgment, and all appeals are final. We believe that is true, that moots any claims against Gerardo de Prevoisin, and believe, as we believed at the trial court, that this case is entirely about Colorado real estate owned by GP Investment, Inc. And to give you a little background about GP Investment, Inc. and these proceedings to tell you about that, GP Investment, Inc. was formed by Gerardo de Prevoisin and his wife on advice of counsel in Mexico and an accountant, and they bought a ski condo. They had fond memories of skiing as a family. The mother decided she wanted her children, when they grew up and had their own families, to ski together. They got one ski condo. They don't ski together. They come different weeks. The whole plan, get three ski condos for three children so they can continue to ski. Second one was purchased well before Aeromexico. First one was purchased before Aeromexico became a public company, but back when it was still part of the Mexican government. Second one, before any allegations. GP Investment, Inc. was then given to the adult children before there were any allegations in this case. Half of it went when the mother died. The other half passed before the allegations regarding Unit D4 occurred. GP Investment, Inc. at all relevant times has been owned by Carlota de Prevoisin de Escariga, Patricio de Prevoisin, and who we call Gerardo Jr., who has a second, different last name. They own it, not Gerardo de Prevoisin, at all relevant times. After they owned it, the last unit was purchased, the third unit, to fulfill the mother's will and testament that she wanted to have three condos in it. That condo was purchased by Gerardo de Prevoisin and placed in GP Investment, Inc. In fact, the purchase...
You're talking about D4 now or D3?
D4. D4. The purchase price was paid by Gerardo de Prevoisin. The purchase was by GP Investment, Inc. That raises two critical factors. One, Gerardo de Prevoisin has never owned Unit D4, has never owned GPI at any relevant time. Second, Aeromexico has never challenged any of the transfers to the current owners of GP Investment, Inc. They never said the transfer of the shares to the current owners was improper, a fraudulent conveyance or otherwise. They never challenged the giving of Unit D or the money to buy Unit D4 as a fraudulent conveyance or otherwise, which really makes the alter ego argument moot. Because if there is no corporation, and the corporation veil was pierced, all that would mean is the condos would not be owned by the corporation, but by the owners of the corporation. That is, Carlota, Patricio, and Gerardo Jr., not Gerardo de Prevoisin. There is no way to link Gerardo de Prevoisin's actions to the condos in this case, except for constructive trust. That was their sole allegation, tracing the money. The court found it was not traceable. The court found there was no veil piercing. The court found there was no equitable basis for the equitable claim to do that, none of which was appealed. This appeal is a lot like the trial. You hear Gerardo's name over and over again and nothing about the company that actually owns this property and the owners of that company, none of whom are alleged to have done anything improper. I think there's a reason for that, Your Honor. Your Honors.
Counsel, I hate to interrupt, but I could tell from my questioning before that I'm a little confused here as to exactly what has been ruled on and why.
Okay.
First question, do you view the trial court's order as a ruling on the merits of the claims against GP or simply a finding that there's no personal jurisdiction against GP?
Clearly the first on the merits. In fact, there was never a challenge to jurisdiction over GP Investment, Inc. It's a Colorado corporation. It owns real estate in Colorado. It never challenged jurisdiction. It never moved to be dismissed on the basis of jurisdiction, so there'd be no basis to dismiss GP on the basis of jurisdiction.
That answers my first question. Okay. Second question, this goes to this issue of the units D1, D2, and D3, and the basis for narrowing the action to exclude the claims relating to those particular units. Your opponent indicates that essentially the claims against those units were not dismissed on forum nonconvenience ground because there would be no reason to distinguish the claims relating to those units from the claims relating to unit D4. In other words, if D1 and D2 and D3 were dismissed on that grounds, why wasn't D4?
First, let me quote from the summary judgment order, which says, based on the above, the court deems it appropriate to grant defendant's request as to the application of the doctrine of forum nonconvenience to all claims other than those relating to D4.
Right. Well, what would be the factual basis then for distinguishing?
Well, the first on three, we count two terms. Because two are combined. These are really townhomes, and one had two units, so that we call them D1 and D2 and then D4. Those two units were all purchased well before there were any problems or any allegations of problems in Aeromexico. Unit D4 was the one that Aeromexico said for years was purchased with Aeromexico's money. Originally, you need to know that when they filed the lawsuit, they said all four condos or all three condos had been purchased with Aeromexico's money. In the summary judgment, we proved that was impossible, that they had to have known that was untrue, since the first one was purchased before Aeromexico even existed. And so there was the reasoning for the court to not dismiss them on jurisdictional grounds and not to follow the ruling of the Fifth Circuit in the federal case, the parallel federal case is that the allegation that Unit D4 was purchased with Aeromexico's money. There was no way that that was true as to the other condos. And in fact, if you look at conclusion of law number 5 in the court's final findings of fact, he explains the order. It says the practical effect of the summary judgment order was to drastically narrow jurisdictional boundaries, as applied in this instance to Aeromexico's claim that portions of the 8 million installments were commingled with Prevozen's personal funds in the Citibank account and used for the purchase of Unit D4. After the summary judgment hearing, that was the only issue remaining. Could Aeromexico show that the funds commingled in Gerardo's account in Citibank have been used to buy Colorado real estate? If they did that, the court held that it was possible that they could prove a constructive trust over someone else's property, despite not having challenge those transfers. Conclusion law number 19 says the same thing. Claims relate to the purchase of Unit D4. Of course, the court then found that they didn't go to Unit D4 because the 8 million payments were disguised political contributions. And candidly, being involved in an illegal campaign contribution is not a defense under Mexican criminal law, but it is absolute proof under Colorado law, that if the money went to a political donation, it didn't go to buy Colorado real estate. And no less than the president of Mexico admitted that the money went to his campaign chest. So it didn't go to buy Unit D4, which after the summary judgment order, which was not appealed from, was the only issue left in this case, on both jurisdictional grounds for nonconvenience grounds. Let me talk a little bit about the account. Particularly in the reply brief, they try to say that, raised for the first time, in my opinion, that the judge's finding that the money did not go to purchase the condo was clearly erroneous. Gerardo de Prevoisin's Citibank account had an automatic rollover process, by which if you had an account with extra money in it, it rolled over into a money market account, which got extra money. All of it went through the checking account. The court ruled, not appealed, that the money that went in that checking account and into the reserve account, which got extra interest, was commingled. For a period, Aeromexico money went in, condo was purchased, and then the political donation went out. Because basically, I should probably step back even a step further. Under Mexican law, it's illegal for corporations to give political donations. So when Aeromexico decided they wanted to give a political donation, they gave eight $1 million bonuses to their president and chairman so he could pass them on. That was held illegal under Mexican law. We traced all eight payments going in the account, the $8 million payments, and then going out of the account. In the relevant period, $8 million came in, $9.4 million came out, $1.4 for the condo, $8 million to the pre. The court ruled, quite logically, that meant he had the money in the account to pay for the condo. And then Aeromexico's money went exactly where it was supposed to. Aeromexico essentially admitted that fact. The president of Mexico admitted that fact. That's the import of these newspaper articles that the judge let in. He let them in for a very limited purpose, to show what the public wants. We had to post.
Show what?
Show what the public reaction was to the allegations of these donations. And it wasn't just Aeromexico. It was a slew of corporations that had found ways to give donations against the law. Gerardo de Prevoisin was the first one who admitted it because he was being deposed. And explain how it happened for Aeromexico. Again, the president of Mexico admitted that the campaign donations came through, but he said he didn't know they came from Aeromexico. They came from Gerardo de Prevoisin. We brought Alfonso Pascual, the then president of Aeromexico, a member of the committee, and one of the eight people Gerardo de Prevoisin named by name as authorizing the donations. And we said, can you deny it? Can you deny that Aeromexico gave money to Gerardo to give it to the PRI? And all he would say is, over and over, I can say Aeromexico didn't give a donation. Not my question. Can you deny that you gave money to Gerardo for the specific purpose of giving it to the PRI? I deny Aeromexico gave any donations. And finally he said, sure, I get it exactly right, I don't have any interest in analyzing those sorts of things, and nonetheless, from those times. In the context of the public discourse and the political cartoons and the front page newspaper articles, his response was an admission. But we don't have to go that far. This is a bench trial, and Gerardo de Prevoisin described where the money went. His sons, who were both on the board of Aeromexico, described where the money went. The court was fully in its power to believe Gerardo de Prevoisin and disbelieve Aeromexico. $8 million didn't go to buy Colorado real estate. And even if it had, no one's ever challenged that transfer. No one has ever said the gift of Gerardo de Prevoisin to his children of the money to buy that condo was wrongful.
Counsel, I'm curious why this case has even been brought in Eagle County, Colorado. I understand there's a condo there, but I think you're saying that even if the money was taken, there was no wrongful conduct in Colorado, was there?
We've been saying that, Your Honor, since I was a fourth-year lawyer. This case has been a career case in at least that sense. Aeromexico filed lawsuits in federal court in Texas, state court in Texas, and Eagle County. They filed at least four or five in Mexico. They filed a lawsuit in Switzerland. Only one dealt with GP. All of the ones in the United States were dismissed, went to the Fifth Circuit, cert was denied, on the grounds, as the Fifth Circuit said, and actually the district judge said, spending money in the United States is not wrongful. If it was, Las Vegas and probably Vail would become centers of international criminal law. Taking stolen money to the U.S. and spending it is not illegal. You have to show wrongful conduct. A court in Eagle decided that if wrongful money was taken to purchase Colorado real estate, that that might create a claim. We disagreed, we fought, we lost, so we tried it, and we proved it hadn't happened. So yes, Your Honor, I would think it's wrong on both levels. It didn't happen, and even if it did, that is not a claim that could be brought in Colorado. Frankly, the only claim I think they could have brought would have been a fraudulent conveyance claim. That claim was not brought. It never has been. Thank you.
I'd like to respond just briefly to a few things that Mr. Manny said. One of them being that there was no challenge to the payment and purchase of the condominium unit D4. The piercing of the corporate veil claim was based on evidence that while Mr. Prevezan ostensibly transferred shares in the corporation to his children, he also used the corporate form of GP Investment to make the purchase of the condominium unit, representing that he was the board of directors, representing that he had a power to operate on behalf of the corporation. That is a clear instance of using the corporate form to improperly to conduct one's own business. And the trial court, although we presented evidence on that, did not address that matter. I'd like to correct the statement that GP Investment is a Colorado corporation. It's a Delaware corporation, and that was significant because that was one of the bases for attaching all of the condominium units at the beginning of the case. It was a foreign corporation, is a foreign corporation, without a certificate of authority to conduct business in Colorado. That also goes to the release of the attachments against the three units that the trial court conducted, because an attachment is not related specifically to the jurisdiction. It is broad to attach any assets of a defendant in the state. I understand that my time is up. I appreciate your considerations. We ask that the court reverse the judgment of the Eagle County District Court and remand it for a new trial. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, counsel, both of you, for your excellent arguments, or all of you. Now the case will stand submitted, and an opinion will issue in due course. That concludes today's docket. The court will stand.